to me in horrible fashion.
Let's get retarded. Let's get retarded. On the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power. Ow.
Everybody stop singing. I'm Derek Knight of SonOfCheese.com. You're listening to the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. We have the packed house with us once again. Justin is voguing, and Justin is Justin Carmichael, Noriaki Kakuin, everyone's favorite Caucasian Asian, the Jew Wario. How many names do you frickin' have?
Well, I was actually hoping that Emerald Hierophant would kind of float away once I got Jew Wario, but it's not happening.
EmeraldHierophant.blogspot.com.
Yeah, it's
still have that.
Still publishing.
Regular co-host Colin Burton from FizzleAndPop.com.
Hello, everyone.
My sister Heather from MattedSpam.blogspot.com.
Hello.
And, of course, my wife Heather, way over in the corner.
The best for last. Hello.
And last week, what we were doing, we were talking catastrophic injury, trauma. And you know what? That really turned out to be a subject that everybody has something to share. And we're going to go straight to Justin, because he was talking last before we started this, and he has a fun story to share about injuring himself pretty severely.
Ah, yes, and not doing anything about it, actually. I should also add on to that.
That sounds par for the course for me.
Sounds like a
so
man.
That's good.
So I was working late at night, like you're wont to do, at that place that, shall not be named for...
Why not?
Well, sure, why not? It's WCTV in Tallahassee.
What exactly did you do there?
I was font, I did camera work, I did audio, I did a whole lot of stuff.
Really? Okay, but this is not about your triumphs. This is about indignities, and I want to hear you injuring yourself.
I was excited to go home. It was 12:30 at night. I was stoked to go home. I just got a brand new, one of those Uber discs that holds like a gig on it, and you have to have a whole new hard drive on it. I was excited to go home because my friend had just given me a whole lot of stuff to, put into my computer.
I'm
groovy. So I'm running home. It had just rained.
La, la, la.
So I'm getting to my car, and I'm running full sprint, and I slip on the grass, and I land, and I try and break my fall, put both hands out in front of me, and I land on the concrete, and all I can get out is "Mother!" And I can't even get the last part out.
And that last part would have been "fucker." Just for you people, if you were at all confused.
All my wind was knocked out of me. And my shoulder hurt so bad. And I saw the last car drive out of the parking lot.
Stop!
Now, no help for Justin.
You've got to realize where the WCTV Tallahassee station is. It's literally a quarter mile from the Georgia border, 30-minute drive from Tallahassee.
So really, the only people that might have been around at that point in time are the Klan.
Yes, yes. Oh, and you fear... No. So,
hi, guys, I'm the Jew Wario.
Please don't kill me.
Ah, boy.
You got to burn a mile. So I'm sitting there, laying there, in front of my car.
So close.
In serious pain. I crawl to my car, open up my door, I get in my car, take a breather, and I start the car up. Now, this was my right arm that was hurting, so I'm starting everything with my left hand, which is awkward in and of itself. And then I start to drive, and before you get to the highway, there is literally 2.5 miles of road from the highway to WCTV. And about a mile in, I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to pass out. I'm going to pass out.
They're
going to
find my body on the side of the road.
I start seeing stuff around my eyes. I start getting this tunnel vision, and I start thinking, I'm going to pass out. I'm going to fucking pass out. I hit the brakes, and I pass out.
You were right.
There is a ditch on either side of the road from WCTV to the road, and I wake up. 10 minutes has passed, and my foot has not depressed off of the brake, luckily. So I drive back to the highway, and I think, I'm going to pass out. But I'm going to do it properly this time. I pull to the side of the road, I turn off the car, I put it in park, and I pass out.
And conveniently pass out. I wish I could control passing out.
30 minutes later, I wake up. It is now like 1:15 in the morning, and I'm okay, and I drive myself home. I all the way I don't pass out, and I put on a hot bath, and I get in the hot bath, and I, oh, wow, I can kind of move my arm again. This is really great. I get out of the water, and it's like a dead skunk. It just lays there and stinks. And so I'm a little nervous because I don't know if my insurance will cover this.
Because you were so happy?
Because I was such an idiot.
Fell or what?
Well, because it happened, I thought, in the parking lot. And it was my fault.
Workman's comp.
But I didn't know that. So I go to, the next day, I go to Publix, which is
the grocery store down in the southern part of the United States.
And I buy an arm sling. And I put my arm in a sling. And people are like, what's wrong? Well, I thought that I had ripped some muscle.
Sure.
Or something. And so I go, well, I hurt myself in the, wow, dude, you got to see that. It starts turning all colors of blue, all the way from my deltoid to my bicep, all the way down, and I'm just in pain the entire time. They said, well, you know, have you seen anybody about that? No, I can't afford to see a doctor. That's all I say, and that's all they say. Okay. So 12 days pass. Yeah, I get that look from Scratch. 12 days pass, and the person says, dude, you really need to get that taken care of.
Yeah.
I said, I just pulled a muscle
It'll
or something.
It'll be better,
I'll be fine. And during this time, I'm trying to do my own type of physical therapy, you know. As I'm driving to work, I try and move my finger and my arm to change the radio station. Slowly and painfully. So they say, no, it'll cover it. So I see the lady, yes, Workman's Comp will actually cover it because it was in their parking lot.
Yep.
Even though I was an idiot, even though I was a moron and running, it covers it. So I go see the doctor, takes an x-ray. He says, wow, your arm's broken. Right in the ball joint, it's a perfect fracture all the way around the ball joint. on the bone. It's fractured, but it's, you know, it's still a break, but it's fractured. I said, well, what can you do about it? And he said, well, we can't cast it, because when we cast something, we have to cast that joint and two joints up. So
the next joint up
joint
is like
up.
Your
so
head.
So if you break your if you break your thumb or you break your wrist, they'll cast the whole arm. That's why. They said, but this is on the shoulder. This is in your shoulder socket. We cannot cast that. And I said, well, what can I do? What you been doing? I said, well, I've been keeping it in this sling. Well, keep it in the sling.
All right.
Here's a thing to go see a physical therapist. And this is why I don't like the physical therapist. They gave me a rubber band.
Uh-huh.
I went to see them, and they gave me a flipping rubber band.
That's what they do.
And they said, well, what you been doing? And I said, well, I've been, you know, trying to change the radio station.
Poking stuff.
I've been sitting down at my house and watching TV, and there's a little bar stool. And so I'll put my hand underneath the bar stool, and I'll try and lift up and keep it up for a little while. And, you know, and trying to, as the weeks are going on, I'm starting to try and make my, you know, better range of motion and stuff. And they said, well, here's a blue strip of rubber. Try and do this, try and do that, you mean this and that I've been doing the motions? And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, this is great. Now give us a whole lot of money. Yeah. Fuck you. So I fixed my arm all by myself. No doctors, no physical therapists. They scheduled
me for
other times.
Dr. Juario.
The problem was that I was in so much pain that they prescribed Vicodin.
Sweet.
The problem is that I don't work on Vicodin very well.
Oh, no.
It's like...
Not many people do.
Yeah.
The effect for me is like, remember when you were in high school or junior high and they used to have a baseball bat and you put the baseball bat in the down...
And you spin around.
And you put your forehead onto it and you'd run around 10 times and you'd stand up and you'd try and walk in a straight line? That was me on Vicodin. So the room would spin one way and I would spin the other. So I took I had this thing of Vicodin that cost me $17 because, you know, Workman's Comp and insurance, love the insurance. I took two Vicodin, and I couldn't stand the pain.
Did you save it and sell it on the street?
Yeah, I did the entire thing. I fixed my arm myself. I physical therapied myself, and I did it with no painkillers.
Well, Jesus Christ, you're like you're a miracle
Superman.
Worker.
I cried so much those first 2 weeks.
See, that's the part you don't admit. You don't say that part.
I have no problems. This is my soft side. I cried a lot.
The soft side.
Imagine it hurt like hell.
It hurt like fucking hell.
Well, if they can't go two over or up, couldn't they go two over? You know, just cast all the way across
and
the front?
Be like, I'd be a stop sign. Stop, everyone. Excuse me. Taxi. Just this arm in the...
Built in. You know, when I was a kid, I did something similar to that, except I didn't end up breaking anything that I know of. I'm pretty sure I didn't. It's not far from here, where also we grew up, there are a series of streets that culminate at the... They have pretty steep hills. Steven and Davey and Lita, they all go up from Hallam, and they're very steep hills. And I had a friend who lived at the top of Steven Drive. And we'd always ride our bikes down Steven and build up speed, but we'd always use our brakes. And one day I told him, Ryan Wick was his name, I said, Ryan, let's ride our bikes down Steven, but let's not use the brakes, and let's pedal and see how fast we can get going. And he said, okay. And... So we start moving and going, and I don't realize this, but he pusses out about, you know, halfway down. And all of a sudden, I'm all alone, pedaling, not using my brakes, going really goddamn fast. And I get down to Hallam, which is the main drag through that little part of town, and I'm thinking all of a sudden, I can't turn. I am going way too goddamn fast to turn, so I'm thinking, if I can get into the alley... Across the way there, I'll be fine. I'll just keep going. Well, I did, and I kept going, but the bike did not. The bike hit that curb and stopped cold, and I kept going. I flew into that alley, over two trash cans, landed, bounced four times, and laid there hoping to die.
And never once did you think, put on the brakes?
We made a pact, goddammit, and that little bastard...
I'm not going to be a pussy, I'm going to just fly over the...
That little bastard, he broke the pact. Luckily, he, you know...
Did he at least come find you?
He got to me eventually, yeah. And I couldn't talk. I couldn't breathe. And so, but we got back to his house, and he patched me up as best he could. And, yeah, I road rash and some hard feelings, but I didn't break my shoulder or anything. So that reminded me of that story. That was, I use my brakes now.
Bikes are dangerous.
I don't do anything quite that stupid, but I know that somebody, who's got a story? Who's got a story?
The Heathers have stories.
Okay, well, eeny, meeny, miny, you in the salmon sweater, you start.
Oh, okay, fine. What was this, about 4 or 5 years ago? We went up to Parker to Ray and Mary Beth's house for a birthday party.
Trampolines are dangerous.
Trampoline.
I ripped my pants, but I didn't do anything quite as stupid as you.
No. Now, see, the deal is...
Hey, it could have been a lot worse.
It could have been a lot worse. Before we left, I was trying to figure out what to wear. I was like, oh, do I wear my cute little skirt or do I wear my jeans? And I thought, oh, I'll be cuter in the jeans. If I had worn my skirt, I would not have gotten on the trampoline, and none of this would have happened. But I wore my jeans. Well, everybody was like, let's go jump on the trampoline. So we went down and jumped on the trampoline. And they had the big round trampoline, and it's shoved up next to their wooden deck. And Heather and I are doing old cheerleading jumps.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to do one of them, and I hit the dead center of the tramp and just flew up. And I'm going face first towards the deck. And I'm like, I'm going to do a face plant into this wood. So I pulled back. Well, my left foot was underneath that little...
The edge of the trampoline. Yeah, the cover on the edge of the trampoline.
That's supposed to protect you from falling through.
It's supposed to protect you. And from the little springs and stuff, it was under there. So when I pulled back, my whole body went back, but my foot didn't. And you heard it pop. And Ray was on the top of the deck, and he heard it pop from the top of the deck. And I just laid there going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I was laughing and crying at the same time. I was trying so hard to be strong. And I was up on they got me off the trampoline. And I was on the second step, and I looked down, and it already looked like there was a softball shoved underneath it. And it was all different colors and stuff. And so they went to the store, and they got me an ace bandage, and I took some aspirin. And I was, they're like, do you want to take our crutches? Oh, no, I'll be fine. And I get home, and I'm like, I need crutches. I'm not going to be fine. I can't even move. I can't walk. So I ended
up
getting...
That runs in the family, though, that whole, oh, I'll be fine.
Yeah, I know. I get it from
Rub
mom.
Some dirt on it.
Yeah, rub some dirt on it. So get home, I ended up having to borrow crutches that were too tall for me from my ex-brother-in-law, and I had to work at a place that has ramps and stairs, and you're on your feet all the time, and I thought I was going to die. And luckily, that was when the big, wide pant legs were in style, so I didn't have to worry about, you know, because I was wearing the straight leg pants when I did it, and it took me forever to get undressed that night because I couldn't get it over my leg. But the first day when I came back from work and I took the ace bandage off, my little toes looked like Vienna sausages, and it was my whole top of my leg was puffed out and like blue and purple and yellow and green, and it was awful. And I didn't go to the doctor until it was healed.
It was like a slow motion horror movie watching it, because I was like, oh God, she's either going to face plant into the deck or she's going to roll her ankle. And when I saw it, I knew exactly what you felt, because it was the exact same injury I had. I was like, oh God.
Where was I when all this was happening?
You weren't up there.
You
didn't go up. You had to work at the, I think you were working at the radio station that weekend.
The damn radio station.
Because you weren't up there, because I remember we were all on the trampoline, and I just kept thinking, all four of us should not be on the trampoline. And I was, you know, jumping, and then I just saw Heather go, and I was like, you know, I couldn't get her in time because she flew that way so fast.
Well, you wouldn't have been able to do anything anyway.
In retrospect, I would have rather have done the face plant than...
It would have probably been better to hit her head on the deck and just fall off the trampoline than to.
Yeah, because she never uses her head.
No, but I mean, if I broke my nose, at least I would have had a really great story to tell people. I ran into a deck. You know, instead I can't walk and I.
Yeah. Now you over there, you Heather, you have another story to share. What is this story?
Okay. Last February, the school building was open on the weekend. I was coming in to rearrange furniture in my classroom, trying to organize stuff, and. Certain someone was supposed to come help me, but I got impatient waiting for that someone.
Yeah, I was busy.
And I had two filing cabinets. They were full, and what they were stacked on top of each other. So I thought, well, fine. He's not coming.
And
I've got to get this moved.
This, kids, is a lesson in how impatience will cost you.
Yeah, this is a lesson in don't be stupid. Because I knew, I told myself, no, empty it out. Ah, no, I can lift it. I'll be fine. Well, I go to lift it off the other one so I could set them both on the floor so I could move them. And I don't know what happened. It slides out of my hand. I have the handle in one hand, but it weighs like 200 pounds. So I try to get out of the way, and as it's falling, the corner of this filing cabinet that weighs probably 150, 200 pounds goes straight down on my big toe. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh. I'm like, okay, you're okay, you're okay, you're okay. I'm like, I need to sit down. I need to sit down. So I take the kids' bean bags. I sit in the middle of my classroom because I'm going, I cannot tell my principal I just did this or she will kill me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. You're still awake. It's not that bad, but I got to look at it. Oh, the same thing. I should have never looked at it. So I take my shoe off and I take my sock off, and full of blood and solid black all the way up. And I'm like, oh. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get some ice. And I was just so nauseous from the blood. It was the same thing. I put the shoe on. There's other people in the building, so I'm trying to act cool. Like, I didn't do anything. So I'm like hopping, and somebody catches me in the library, and it was the tunnel vision. I get halfway through the library because in my school, my classroom is the farthest classroom from the office. And I'm going to the lounge to get some ice. And I'm like, okay, tunnel vision. Oh, my God, I'm going to pass out. I'm almost there. I'm like, it's starting to get smaller and smaller. So I get into the lounge, and, of course, somebody's in there. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? And they're talking to me. I'm like, fine. I'm just going to get some ice. I'm not feeling so well. And I'm dripping in sweat because I'm just, like, ready to pass out. So I get this ice, and I lay on the couch in the lounge. And I'm like, I got to call Derek. I got to call him to come pick me up because I can't. And I'm like... So I call him from the lounge, and he's like, okay, I'll come. I'm like, I gotta go back to my classroom to lock it up. So I had to walk all the way back, and I'm sitting there waiting for him, and I'm just like, oh my God, I totally just probably shattered my toe. And it wasn't as bad when I got home and actually washed it off, but I still have a slight bit of the bruise on my toe. It just now grew out, and it's been a year. So, yeah. Oh, not recommended to try and lift a full filing cabinet. Quit trying to be efficient and empty the damn thing out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, way to go.
Yeah. And you had real sympathy for me. You're like, you did what? Fine, I'll be right there.
Well, it was more like, how can you be so stupid? You know, I was torn between. I was torn
how
between.
How could you be so stupid?
I was torn between how could you be so stupid and crap. I've got to be sympathetic, but that was stupid.
How could you be so stupid, Mister? I shatter my ring fingers 2 weeks before the wedding, and then ask somebody on my hockey team to tape my fucking stick to my blocker hand.
That's right. Well, I couldn't lift my stick, so I had it taped to my hand.
Yeah.
That's just what you do. But we'll get to that here in a bit. Colin has a story he'd like to share.
Are you talking about the time that I broke your finger, or
I? Well, whatever you want to talk about.
Well, actually, what I was thinking of was when I was about 10, we were at my aunt's house. I was playing in the backyard, and I went to run and jump up on the fence, and there was a nail sticking out of the fence, and it impaled in my knee.
Oh,
so
man.
I was, like, stuck to the fence, and I had to pull my knee off this nail to drop to the ground and hobbled into the house. That obviously didn't lead to stitches, but it did lead to tetanus shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy Christ. Yeah, that's like, those are the horror stories that parents told their kids, and you lived it.
Yeah.
It's like a PBS movie, after school movie.
I have not been kind to my knees through my life, so.
But you can still sit Indian style, whereas I cannot.
That's how they repeat.
Yeah, but you never really did you?
Oh, I used to be able to, sure.
He wasn't one of those children.
Yeah, I that's most comfortable for me, but... I mean, get me walking and they hurt like hell, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I've damaged my knee severely at one point, and that was the only time that any injury has prevented me from doing stuff. That was probably because I was to the point where I had been hurt so many times that I needed a break. Mm-hmm. And so damaging my knee severely. I was playing in a hockey game down in Pueblo.
Practice?
No, this was the first real game.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
It was a tryout.
No.
It was the tryout because they hadn't picked teams yet.
You were always last to be chosen.
Last picked or first eliminated, which is worst.
Were you there?
I was not there, but I recall somebody coming home and telling me that you made the team.
Yeah,
but
it was my first full game with the team that I was chosen by. Okay.
It was practice.
Christ.
But anyway, go on with your lovely story.
Okay, red mic is off.
there's the finger again.
So this was
the
first
Rockefeller salute.
This was the first official game with the team that chose me. And midway through the first period, I went down into the butterfly position, took a shot, and the rebound came out to my left, so I reached back across my body and popped my knee. Shredded the MCL ligament in my knee.
Oh my God.
And everybody comes over to me because I'm crawling, you know, I suddenly lose the ability to get up, and everybody comes over to me and, are you okay? Oh, I'll be fine. And in my head, I'm like, no, I'm not going to be fine. I've really done something to my leg, but I'd better finish this game. And from the knee down, it's just swinging in the wind. You know, it's just like a gate swinging in the wind. There's nothing holding it together. And I'm thinking, well, just stay up. Don't go down. Don't block any shots low. But, of course, when you've done it for so long, your muscle memory takes over. And so I am. I'm doing everything that I normally would, but I've got one leg. And every time I go down, it's very hard to get back up. And so, you know, we win the game, and everybody's like, hey, this is great. And I'm like, well, that's it for me. I'm like, what are you talking about? I said, well, I blew one of the ligaments in my knee. I'm not really familiar with what they are, but I know one of them's blown. Well, can't you wrap it real tight? And the funny thing is,
beer league hockey is really worth wrapping a fucked up knee. They were all like,
well, you can't just quit. And I said, well, I can. Well, just wrap it real tight. And the funny thing is, a year prior, I would have because that's what I did. I would break my fingers and just, I'd put a splint on it and then bend the splint, or I would just I'd tear my groin muscles and just see that as well. It gives me better range of motion. And that was the first actual injury that forced me to stop playing. And, I went to the physical therapist and he jacked it around and said, asked for $50 and, well, not physical. No, I never actually went to the physical therapist, just went to the orthopedist, and he took $50 out of me and told me just wear a brace and do a couple stretches.
But I knew it was bad because when he came home, he's standing at the base of the stairs and he's like, I think I need to go to the hospital. And I'm like, what? And he goes, I can't get up the stairs.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, what did you do?
Well, it was, you know, it was tough.
But the first thing was, but I won the game.
We won the game. We won the game.
Who the fuck cares if you won the game if you can't walk?
Everybody cares that we won the game.
Woo, yeah. 10 years from now, they're going to remember. You remember that goalie who busted his knee, but he played out the rest of the game, and we won?
Motherfucker. We won that game. And, I still would have played had it not been when it happened, because when it happened, I had just been so beat up, because we had been playing in a league that was two steps above where we needed to be. because we got kicked out of a league that was two steps below where we should have been. We couldn't find that happy medium. And so I was playing against kids that played junior and some guys that played pro, and it was, you know, it was rough. And yeah, I got hit in the throat one night, and that all the muscles in the throat locked up. Heather thought I was dead.
Yeah, I did. Because you didn't move for like a minute. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, blow the fucking whistle, you assholes. And his team's like going, get down, Derek. What's he do? He stands back up. And Scott's like, I told him to stay down, damn it. But he didn't move. He just sat there like this. And I'm like, oh my God. He's like not breathing. And yeah.
I was fine.
Yeah.
Did you hear me say we're going to put that on your tombstone? I'll be fine.
I'll be fine.
I think it should be part of the family crest.
Man. It should
be.
Yeah,
there you go.
I'll be okay.
I'll be fine. Rub some dirt on it.
I'll be fine. Fuck Montrose.
There you go.
Well, speaking of bad knees, I have a bad knee story. Well, it's more my bad ankle story. Can I tell it?
Your mic's back on.
I didn't know. Enough to shut me out for the rest of the pod. We had just seen Weird Al Yankovic down at the State Fair in Pueblo.
Great concert if you ever get to go see it.
And he's coming back again this year.
Yes, he is. It was a wonderful concert. It had gone really well. And we were walking through the midway to go back to the car. And I have horrible ankles, thanks to my dad. And
well, it's not because like your dad beat you in the ankles with a pipe.
He
it's
has
just that
bad,
runs in the family.
Yeah, bad ankles, bad knees, they run in the family.
I want people to be clear on that.
Yes, he beat me. He beat me with a lead pipe. No. And so I have been blessed with his lovely genes of bad ankles, thus, you know, rolling the ankle in the last episode. So we're walking down the midway, and all of a sudden, my ankle just gives out. And
she just went
there's
down.
There's this gigantic
hole
just
folded
right
up like
me.
A cheap card table.
I just...
One day, one moment she's there, the next moment,
it
bam!
Happened so fast, and I went down, and I remember trying to catch myself, but the brunt of the blow went on my left knee, and... It hurt so bad. All I could say was, fuck! And this little old lady was crossing at the same time. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I get up and I dust myself off. And I'm like, oh my God, it hurts. And Derek's like, I'll suck it up. It's not that bad. It didn't break your jeans. So your knees can't be that bad. I'm like, no, they're bleeding. They're bleeding.
So I got the old crappy first aid kit out
but
of the trunk.
Wait. We hadn't gotten there yet because we had parked like... Three blocks over.
A ways away.
And he's like, oh, you'll be fine. And, you know, your hands are scabbed and whatever with asphalt. And I'm like, okay, I'll fine. And I'm walking. I'm like, they're bleeding. I'm telling you they're bleeding. He's like, whatever, fine. I'll get out the first aid kit. So we get in the car and I roll up my pant legs and they're just covered in blood. The knees are bleeding. There's asphalt in my knee. And I'm like, oh, dear God. So I think I still have actually the scar that there was a piece of asphalt that was still left in underneath my knee.
That reminds me of another story, but I think we're out of time.
Tell it quick.
Okay, well, I was riding my motorcycle, and I turned to go, and this is without a job. I had no insurance, no nothing.
He had nothing
regular
to lose.
Insurance.
He had a motorcycle,
right.
For Christ's sake.
I hit sand, and I went down and slid about 30 feet on my knee.
Oh!
And with no insurance, I didn't know what to do, and it tore through my pants. You could see the grit and crap in my knee. I had to go to the free clinic or whatever the hell the place is. But
usually you go there for the VD.
The morning after pill.
Not the free clinic then, but you know what I mean.
The county
Medicaid
health.
Or whatever. And they took a wire brush and scrubbed at my knee with no kind of any kind of painkiller. And just scrubbed it to get all the grit out.
Were you in Mexico?
Yeah.
No, I was here in Colorado Springs. Yeah. And I had to wait like 5 hours for them to do that for me. And it was also like 2 days later, so it had started growing over. So they had to scrape it all out. And
I think I just threw up.
Just a little in my mouth.
And I still have a scar on my knee from that. So.
Wow, and I've got scars on my brain from that. That's horrible. Well, thanks, everybody.
There's nothing like having a wire brush taken to your skin. And
yeah.
Nothing like
well, that sounds like something that they do down in Gitmo to get people to talk.
Well, then I might be prepared for that if it ever comes.
There you go. If
you will never talk. You'll never talk.
If you grow your beard long again and they mistake you for a dirty terrorist, then, well, I guess you could be just a member of the IRA, the Irish Republican Army.
Yeah,
bombing folks. Is it the Protestants versus the Catholics over there? Yeah. I can never remember.
Yes.
Anyway, this is Derek Knight of SetOfCheese.com. With us
Random.
As always, Colin Burton, the Irish terrorist from FizzleAndPop.com.
Be safe, everyone.
My sister Heather from Matted Spam.
Bye-bye.
My wife Heather.
Bye.
And everybody's favorite Caucasian Asian professor in Ariaki Kakuin, the Jew Wario, Justin Carmichael from Emerald Hierophant at Blogspot.com.
Thank you very much, everybody.
And thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next Wednesday.